supposed to have Tavern Sacks just address the staff members of the program, and only the staff members of the program. And our next installment of the staff training series, she's done this privilege for the program and for certainly Francis White Cole, Tavern Sacks, join us for yesterday and certainly the rest of today up until the Chabura spot. So without hesitation, please give your attention to the recess.
Okay, thank you very much. It's been a wonderful opportunity to be able to spend these few days here, to be able to see the potency of Esek B'Torah, the Avas HaTorah, is something that really is palpable, and not only reflection on the Talmidim, but reflection on the staff and everything that you are doing. Let me just begin with somewhat of a Dvar Torah and perhaps certain messages that's very relevant for Chinuch in general and for your role throughout the summer. There is Midrash Rabbah, the very beginning of Sefer Midbar, that tells us that the Torah Hashem was given the Midbar Ba'esh Uvamayim. And what exactly does the Midrash mean? That the Torah Hashem at Mamad Har Sinai was accompanied by fire, but also was given to us B'mayim. What is the difference between Esh versus Mayim? The Gemara tells us in Tainus that one difference is as follows, that Mayim is something that always seeks out the lowest level. Water is something which is always holeh l'makom namo. That is not true of Esh. Esh is always something that quite opposite. It is something that ascends. It is something that is assertive. Something that soars. And here I would tell you that the Torah Hashem was given to us with two very different elements. One challenge is to be able to resemble the Midas HaEsh, that a person always has to assert himself. You have to soar. You have to be willing to go out on a limb. And sometimes you have to replicate the Midas HaMayim, that you take a step back and you exercise humility, and a person is mevatel. Both are necessary in life. You know, sometimes a person's mindset has to be bishvili nivra olam, that the world was created for me. And therefore, it is up to me to be able to stand up and to be outspoken and to be assertive. And sometimes, as the Gemara tells us, the oli ha'yadam kabel b'kayim. The best thing to do sometimes is simply to take the step back and to exercise humility. Not bishvili nivra olam, but to echo the statement of Avraham Avinu, Anochi Afar Ve'Efer, who am I? I am nothing, and to be able to stay back. And clearly in life, as well as in Chinuch, that both are necessary. Sometimes you have to be absolutely assertive, you have to be forthright, sometimes if you're challenged, you have to respond, and sometimes the best thing is simply to be quiet and not say anything at all. You know, it's true halacha. You see a person who's doing something inappropriately. Sometimes a person has to exercise the mitzvah sofacha. Sometimes, as the Rambam writes, l'famim halamas itim in ha'ovra mitzvah. Sometimes the best thing is simply to remain silent. But it's not always clear when to employ the midas ha'esh and when to embrace the midas ha'mayim. When do you take a step forward? When do you take a step back? When is a person mivater in the spirit of humility? Or when does a person be outspoken, remitting the Midas HaEsh? So I would tell you that if you look in Sefer B'Midbar, you find an incredible contrast. The Rabban already writes that the entire focus of Sefer B'Midbar was readying ourselves to enter Eretz Yisrael. You know, the Rabban questions why in the very beginning of B'Midbar were Klal Yisrael counted. What was the purpose of that? The answer the Rabban gives is, after all, look, this is Kibush HaAretz. It was necessary to count all the Knesset Yisrael. It was necessary to establish an army to be able to prepare for kibush, for Yerusha Yeshiva, and that would have been imminent if not for the Chet Tamaragim. The Chet Tamaragim put everything on hold. And following the Chet Tamaragim, then you have the Chet of Korach Ba'adaso. And those two chataim, I think, speak volumes in terms of that balance of these very, very different midas. When it comes, for example, to the fate of the Meraglim, what exactly was the fate? Sending Meraglim? The Rabban writes, absolutely not. No, after all, Hishtadlus is necessary in life. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that Vohorashtim Etzaras V'Yishabtim Ba, you're obligated to go in to do proper Hachana in order to see to it that that comes to fruition. Later in Sefer B'Midbar, when it came to other conquests, the Sevi Azar, of course, that we sent Meraglim there as well. That wasn't the fate. But the mindset of Meraglim clearly was the fate, as the Ramban writes, that what was their mandate? What was their job description? They were not chosen to determine the viability of the Dvar Hashem, whether or not we can conquer Eretz Yisrael. That already was told to Avraham Avinu, Lazara Panasati, as Haaretz Hazot. Yerushalmi writes in Parabeis of Chala, Lazara Tachetein Im Simchan. The pasuk doesn't say, I will. Lazarecha Nasati, Kfar Nasati. Their mindset was to implement the Dvar Hashem, not to pass judgment on the viability of the Dvar Hashem. When they came back and they said, there's no way that we're able to go ahead and accomplish this, it was clear that they completely misunderstood what their mission statement was. They were not being asked whether or not we could conquer Eretz Yisrael, but rather simply, how is it that we most effectively, most efficiently implement Vohorashtim Es Haaretz V'Yishabtim Ba? And that is a critical, critical flaw. That is a tragic fate. I'll tell you the pasuk that I think, which is so revealing, is when they came to Eretz Yisrael and they saw the Umos HaOlam, and they saw them as being giants, and they saw themselves as being nothing, what exactly was their response? Bani Beinenu Kekagavim. They saw themselves as lowly insects. Lowly insects. That's remarkable, no? You fast forward to the next parsha, all this in Parsha's Korach. All of a sudden, Korach Vadasal come. They challenge Moshe Rabbeinu in Aaron HaKohen. And what is their response? Kol Ba'ed of Kuvim Kedoshim, Vesokam Hashem. You're the Manikim? Everyone has the status. Kol Ba'ed of Kuvim Kedoshim, Vesokam Hashem. If I were to ask you, using my models of Eishin Mayim, so when it came to challenging Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, there they utilized the Midas HaEish. Kol Ba'ed of Kuvim Kedoshim, Vesokam Hashem. When it came to Kiddush HaAretz, all of a sudden, the Midas HaMayim, the Olei Havam Kavo V'Kayim, Imavate, humility, inappropriate humility. Who are we? We are B'nei Kechagavim. You know what was tragic about those Chataim? Amazing, no? When it comes to challenging Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, all of a sudden they embraced the Midas HaEish. And when it came to implementing the Dvar Hashem, all of a sudden the Midas HaMayim. That was tragic. The opposite is what should have been done. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you, Vohorashtim Etzaras V'Yishabtim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you that Lazarecha Nasati, Kfar Nasati, when it comes to implementing the Dvar Hashem, it's not about you, it's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then that's the time to say, Kol Eidu Kulu Kadoshim of Sokham Hashem. And when you're in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, you start to question the judgment of Manhigei Yisrael, that's the time to say, V'nei Beinenu Kechagovim. That's the key. That's the key. When you're in the presence of Manhigei, Gedolei Yisrael, Gedolei HaRabbanim, recognize that's when Lolam Havel Kalavakayim, when you're implementing the Torah Hashem, when you are fighting a battle of Yerusha V'Yeshiva, that's not the time to falsely embrace the Midah of Anava, but rather that's when a person has to be assertive. I'll tell you the same thing is true when it comes to Chinuch. If it's about you, you take a step back in a bima vata. If you're defending Kvod Shamayim, then you can't respond in any way. There you have to recognize that you're going to be seen as a spokesman for the Torah Hashem, and you have to be prepared to do so. You have to recognize that. Now, if you're in the position that you are being Malamei Torah, if you are being a Madrich, you have to recognize that your Avodah Hashem has to be impeccable. The knowledge of any sugya you're teaching has to be absolutely flawless. Absolutely flawless. No? It means no laziness. No, it means that you have to sit there
and know the Makoros backwards and forwards. How are you going to try to have any Hashvot and anyone else unless you show them that Kihim Chayenu, that this is it, this is the most important thing in my life? And if you kind of hem and haw, and you really are so uncertain, and you don't do justice to the Torah Hashem, that's not a time to embrace a Midas Hanavah. That's when a person has to be unbelievably, unbelievably assertive. Recognize that achrayus that you have. It doesn't mean that at your age you're expected to know everything. But what you know and what you're teaching, know incredibly well. It's not enough just to be one step ahead of the Talmidim who you teach. Make sure that what you know thoroughly, what you know is well, and that you're impeccably, impeccably honest in terms of how it is that you are able to transmit the Torah Hashem. And in terms of those midos, you have to teach by example. Teach by example. That's something which is critical. You know that we look at mitzvos of Bikur Cholim, Nicham Aveilim, you know, it's striking that these are not found as part of mitzvos HaTorah. Not found. No? Look in the Rambam. Where do you find a mitzvah, Nicham Aveilim, Bikur Cholim? You won't find it in sefer mitzvos at all. No, there's a Rambam for Gedalei Chochasavel, where the Rambam writes, Harein Bechlal Behaftal Re'efa Kamotcha. Good, but why is it that there's no mitzvah of Nicham Aveilim? Why is it that there's no mitzvah of Bikur Cholim? You know why? You go around Sotha Dav Gedalei. Rav Chaim Hanina tells us, you know what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us the importance of it, not by instruction, not by instruction, by example. You know why it's so important to do Bikur Cholim? You know why Nicham Aveilim is so important? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, because this is what I do. Huh? When Avraham Avinu was recuperating this Bersinah, all of a sudden HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes for Bikur Cholim. When Avraham Avinu was Nifter, all of a sudden, that's the mitzvah Nichum Aveilim. The Torah could have taught us Bikur Cholim or Nichum Aveilim simply by instruction. But the Torah chooses to do so by example. By example. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, follow my lead. Achrei Hashem Elokeichem. Teleichu. It's an important blessing in terms of the Torah Hashem that if you teach by instruction, there's only so much you'll be able to accomplish. You have to teach by example. And I will tell you that example is a twofold one. You know, this concept of Ahalach to the Rabbah, you have to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is found in two Masechtas, and the Gemara quotes two very different psukim. A Gemara in Sotah Daf Yadal, the psukim Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel. The Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel, the Gemara quotes the drash of Abba Shol, Zeh Keli V'anveigu. V'anveigu is Ani V'hu, Ani V'hu, Ma'hu Avata. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rafum V'chanu, Afata, Te Rafum V'chanu. The Gemara in Sotah Daf Yadal, Rafam Rechanina, Afra Yishem Lokeichem Kelecho. So, Mahu Afata, Mahu Biker Chole, Mafata, Baker Chole, Mahu Nicham Aveilim, Mafata, Nachem Aveilim. Ask a very simple question. It's the same Musar Haskel, no? The same Joshas, no? Of Allah the Bidracha. And yet, the Gemara quotes two different Bali Memra, two different Sukkim, two different Masechtas, Brisk, no? two halachas in Allah the Bidracha. Absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. You know, in life sometimes, you can have people who are very gracious. In terms of midos, they're people that are generous to the core. But somehow, they don't manage to get the job done. It doesn't manifest itself. It doesn't happen. They desire to, but it doesn't always translate itself in a concrete way. Sometimes in life, you can have people who are quite the opposite. They're doers. You know, this guy, he'll do all the chassadim in the world. But somehow, inherently, internally, you don't get the sense that there's a real graciousness. Both are necessary. Balach v'dracha means that you have to be an oseh chesed. But it's not enough to be an oseh chesed. You also have to be a bal chesed. And afu avata means it's not enough to be a bal chesed. You have to be an oseh chesed. Both are necessary. You have to have the midah, and you have to manifest that midah in a practical, more practical way. And that I would suggest are the two sugyas. That ani v'hu v'anveil means, as the Gemara says, rachum v'chanum. That's the midah. The Gemara itself in Daf Yudal, it is the act of
Nichum Aveda and Bikur Cholim. Both are absolutely necessary, absolutely necessary. And this is what I would tell you has to go into the example that you show everyone else and that you exhibit, especially if you're in the position of not only Lilmo, but Lilamed. You have to show a graciousness of spirit, right? That you're not doing this for yourself. You're doing this because there's a mission state, that you're Shluchi Derachman. And it has to be evident in everything that you do, that graciousness and the mida that you have. But it has to manifest itself in the care, in the desire, in the hands-on, the tender way that you deal with everyone that you come in contact with. That's something which is absolutely critical. There can't be just one sunya of halacha bedracha. There have to be two halachas, the bose chesed and the baal chesed. And that's something which is critical. You have to teach. You have to teach by example. Rostoveitchuk would often comment that every mesechta, you have seven mishnayos. Where you have a statement, you don't know who the baal ha-memra was. You're not going to find that in meseches avos. Because when it comes to midei da'avos, when it comes to conveying midos, that cannot be done anonymously. That has to be done through the persona of that Tana. The Tashbis, right? That's the meaning of not Omer, but Hu Haya Omer. No? That was a common refrain. And Rav Soloveitchik saying that, you know, the mission tells us about Shmuel HaKatan Omer, B'nfol Ayibcha Al Tisma. You know what's so difficult about that? B'nfol Yitzchak Tichma is a posuk in Mishnah Chodalet, no? That's not what Shmuel HaKatan Omer. That's not Shmuel HaKatan's Chiddush, no? The answer, of course, is, no, this isn't what Shmuel HaKatan said. No, this is who Shmuel HaKatan was. No, that's what his essence was. And Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, ooh, such a l'shitas, and the second brachas chafetz, Shmuel HaKatan was the one who was misapping the bracha of Olam HaShini. Now, as I mentioned to an earlier group, now they have, because, you know, whoever is going to coin that bracha of Olam HaShini, right, it has to be absolutely Shema. It has to be someone who has the midah of, the midah sachesed, the midah sarachim. It can only be one who, when fully Yivchal Tismach was their mission statement, was their mandate, was their mindset. And that you have to teach by example. That's something which is critically, critically important. I'll tell you, even in terms of your own learning, I would venture to say that when you have to teach others and you have to prepare your source books and material, you probably know the sugyas fairly well. Maybe not every nuance, but let's say fairly well, right? And you probably have organized it in a very, very nice structure. A very nice structure. Because it would probably be thoroughly embarrassing if you had to present and it was anything short of that, if you didn't know. What I will tell you is this. Whenever you learn any sugya, pretend as if that you're going to have to present this. Every sugya has to be learned that way. Now you have source books, you have your outlines. Now every sugya that you ever learn. I want the source books, I want the outlines, to be able to have that structure. So if I ask you what sugya you're learning, you'll tell me, well, this is what I'm doing, Tafoko. And I say, okay, present the sugya. The answer can't be, even though I can prepare because this isn't my chabura, but no, life is a chabura. No, this is how you have to do every sugya that you learn. You have to know it sufficiently well that you can present that particular sugya. So what you're doing here for a few weeks is just a way of showing that you can do it if you try. You can do it if you try. But now when you go back to yeshiva, I want every daf and every sugya to be with the same clarity and the same organization and that same skill. No? And if you don't, then you're not fulfilling your piyuv in Talmud. You can't say like a onus rachman apatra. No, you did it for several weeks. No, every sugya that you had to present, you knew very, very well. No, so I want every sugya to do that. I'll ask you right now, like, what sugya did you learn in yeshiva a month ago? No, I want the answer to be crisp. No, crisp. No, just like what chabru you gave yesterday. No, that's key. That's what you have to do. No, that's your mission, because there is no excuse in learning for mediocrity. It cannot be. No. You know, whether you want to remember what you learned or not, that's really not up to you. It's a gemara mafuresh, it's a menachos of tzaditetz, that you don't have a choice, you have to. Call him a shakeh, dover echad, nemuda od kolad. No, if you forget your learning, it's nisadareis. It's a nisadareis. So
on Shabbos. You're not going to trick this. You're not going to forget. You're not going to forget your learning. So a person's faced with onus gomer, pikuach nefesh, kimachal Shabbos, no? An onus gomer, you forget your learning. You know, it has to be an onus gomer, no? If you chazer, right, a dozen times, and you forget, we can talk about whether that's an onus. But if you don't chazer, and you only went through your learning, you know, a couple of times, you know, casually, you know, on the couch, with your feet up, you know, that's not an onus gomer, no? That's kushayim. It's not an onus, no? Why isn't that an iser of v'shakev d'avrecha d'muda? You have to, like, really take this seriously, no? You know, I see Talmidim there, and, you know, they're trying to go to medical school. You know, they're studying for their MCATs, you know? They're pulling all-nighters, no? And they're organizing all their notes, and everything is structured, no? You know, why isn't Baba Kama as special as MCATs? No? Like, why? You know, like, let's see. Every sukkah, like, delineate. Organized, not chaz. You'll be zoche to unbelievable siyata deshayas when you do that. Because this, and that's what the Gemara is, and even that plane. It's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do. So when you do it, you're going to start remembering things that you had no idea that you had the capacity to be able to do that. But you absolutely have to walk the walk. You can't just desire that you're going to retain. No, you have to sit there and chaz and learn in an organized fashion. If you don't learn organized fashion, it's very hard to remember things. It's like Rahman and son memorizing the phone book, where one line is not connected to the next. No, how do you remember all these types of things? But when you learn in an organized way, and you create that type of hadar, an outline, and so on, so of course the memory just becomes natural. Because if you learn systematically, you're wired. That's how Kadosh Baruch Hu created us. That when we know, when we understand, we retain. And everyone has that capability. I'll bring you a Rayim Lachach. Right, there's a Mishnah in Masechta Sabbos. Arba is the Talmud. The Mishnah says there are all different types of Talmud. There's some that have a very quick grasp, others that have an ability to retain. So I ask you a simple kasha, not my kasha, the Rambam's kasha. What is this doing in a Mishnah, in Masechta Sabbos? Like, I would be shocked if there was a Mishnah in Masechta Sabbos that says there's some Talmidim that are tall and some Talmidim that are short. Like, yeah, that's just a fact, no? But there's nothing you can do about that, no? Why is there a Mishnah that says that retention, grass? You know what the answer is? It's Mufurish in the Rina Chayash. That because you control that. You control that. It's a Mishnah in us. It's not a fait accompli. It's not that this guy was born with some innate talent, and because of the talent that he had, he's able to retain. Yeah, people have tools, but you know what? You're capable of retention. You're absolutely capable. You're capable of a quick grasp. But the only way it's going to happen is if you put in all the effort and you daven for siyata deshmaya. If you do both, then you're going to succeed. You're going to absolutely retain. I think there's no better raya than Rav Elazar Mordechai. Now the Mishnah tells us Rav Elazar Mordechai was the bor sud she'ena ma'atati. No? Photographic mind. Never forgot a word. Never forgot a word. Unbelievable. No? Okay. I need a Mishnah to tell me that. So, but he was blessed. He was blessed with photographic memory. Good. Now there's a Gemara in Sukkot HaChochetz. No? Rav Elazar Mordechai. Mi yamai lo kidmani ad levesa mevesh. Rav Elazar Mordechai. It never happened. Never. Never. That anyone ever got to the Beis Hamikdash before I did. Umiyani, lo hinafti b'odom yitzas. And it never happened, never, that I left the Beis Hamikdash and someone else was sitting there. It's like unbelievable, no? You know, I would have told Elizabeth Clinton, you know, you have a photographic mind. You can show up late. You can leave a little early, you know? Like, you know, you can accomplish in an hour. But it's going to take these guys, you know, all day to accomplish, no? I would even suggest that Rav Elazar Mordechai started with Miyamai and developed into the Bor Sud She'en Ma'abati. I don't think the cause and effect was the opposite. That he was initially a Bor Sud She'en Ma'abati. Do I have any raya? Absolutely yes. Raya Mokhatas. Pirkei Rav Elazar. Pirkei Rav Elazar was author of Rav Elazar Mordechai. No? And look at the very beginning. It talks about how he struggled. It's unbelievable. How he struggled in his learning.
he was like me, Hashem Abdipa. It's like, it's unbelievable, no? Yeah, he became that. He became that. Because lo kidmani atam, the Beis HaMidrash.
Yeah, that's what you have to do. That's what recognize it. That's something just critical. That's what you have to do. Like, is it ever conceivable that, like, any of you as Madrichim ever can relate to the Avim? It can't be. It just can't be. No? It's not about you. No? It's not the Torah Hashem. When you come late to the Avim, they will come late to the Avim. No? You're going to take your tefillin off before the final Kaddish. They're going to take their tefillin off before the final Kaddish. It's not about you. You know, no one's out telling you, you have to accept this responsibility. Well, but if you do, you have to make sure that you're going to set that example that's absolutely stunning, Now, impeccable, you know? So sometimes, like on this Rahman Apatre, so maybe like in the course of an entire summer, so maybe you'll miss Brachos once, you know? It's like an Onus Rahman Apatre. More than once, that's Onus Rahman Apatre. Why is it Onus Rahman Apatre? That cannot be. That cannot be. You know the Sukhi Monas Rechman Apatre? There's a Gemara around the Zvachim Daf at the base of the base. The Gemara is discussing like a complicated Sukhi of Tfil Yom. No? The Gemara says the Teretz. No? The Gemara says, ooh, this was the Teretz that complicated Pasha. That,
I heard it.
What do you mean you heard it? When did the Rebbe say it? The Gemara says, shut. Take a look. Sh'amar b'beis hakismi. The Gemara says, well, good days. This is what my Rebbe said when he was in the bathroom. No? It's so good for you. This is what my Rebbe said when he was in the bathroom. This thing is for you. It's like, I'm a little bit. It's a Gemara of the Rebbe. The Gemara says, what do you mean? You're not allowed to learn in the b'beis hakismi. No? First kasha. Nothing more answers. Onish, I mean. That's a good word. Onish. Onish, Rav, on a part. Onis Rav Hanapatra, no. Rashi writes. He was an onis in Harbatsa Sator. Onis in Harbatsa Sator. He couldn't help himself. Couldn't help himself, no? We think of an onis Rav Hanapatra as a reason to excuse this laxity, this laxity, this laxity. Now, the Sukhya Shas on this Rav Hanapatra means a person who's marvelous Torah Besakise because he just couldn't stop sharing the Divrei Torah. That's like unbelievable, no? Something to be mindful of. No? So these are the challenges that I'll tell you that you face. No? So let's pass it. Comes to anything which is a personal preference. Personal preference in life. No? Mine. No? Abba Bakayim. Midli Dishmai. No? Whenever it comes to any Avodah Hashem, Ish. No? Sometimes in life it may be hard to determine. Is this Ish Shemayim? No? You have a Rebbe, you ask them that is this Eish or is this mine? Now, if it's about you, it's mine. If it's about the Torah Hashem, then it's considered to be that which is absolute Eish. Recognize the need that you have to teach. Right? Not by instruction, by example. Right? The learning that you do and the care that you give, it has to be impeccable. Impeccable. Now, you're giving the commencement address from millions of people. No? You're going to prepare. Right? Realize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is watching you, even when you're giving a chavurah to five guys. Now, the most chashuv audience. Now, make sure that impeccable. Not only chazur the chomer, chazur the presentation. Now, and do this with every sugya that you learn. Chazur. Because you're risking in a sedarisa if you forget. And if you get, despite the fact that you gave it your best shot, on a sarfonatatra. You didn't give it your best shot, then you can't embrace the mantle of onus rachmanim. Good for that. Think about it. Now this is important. Now I'll tell you that your being madrichim this summer is one of the most important lessons that you can glean for the rest of your life on earth. Because if you can prepare like these sugyas this way, so now if you go back to yeshiva, every sugya. Clarity with the outline, I'll bump into you on the street. I'll ask you, what are you learning? No, I want to hear the outline. No, for everything out is delineated, it's clear with Hazara. Right? The Torah Hashem is the most precious thing in life. It deserves our tender care. It deserves to be nurtured and nourished and refined in that way. And then it become a part of you. It's Kalatah Kadosh Baruch Hu for everything.
Thank you.